ಹೋದು ರೋಡ್ ನಮ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ರೈಟು ಬ್ಲೇಡ್ ಹತ್ರ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಈವನ್ ಇಂದ ಏರಿಯಾ ಆಫ್ ಫ್ರಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಡಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬೈ ಈ ಸೈಲೆಂಟ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾ ಶುಡ್ ರಿಟರ್ನ್ ಟು ಇಸ್ ಓನ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನಲ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸಲ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ದೆನ್ ಹೀ ಕುಡ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ಬೃಂದಾವನ.
The mercy of the intermittent. In other words, the devotee should always be attentive to executing his personal devotional service properly. This is more important than trying to live with the Lord's abode.
So what are the points there?
The importance of service.
Why is service important?
You serve the Lord.
Why is that important?
Because
why is it important to serve Krishna? We serve Krishna because it pleases Krishna. Like that. Because we want to do something for Him. At this point in time, our bhakti is still very much egocentric. In other words, we do our devotional service, but we're thinking, what am I getting out of it? In other words, you do your sadhana, but you think, I am advancing, or I am getting purified. But that is not the point. The point is Krishna satisfied? Is Krishna pleased? As like Prabhupada gave that example, Harisori Prabhu said, or Prabhupada said, that everything cooked in Vrindavan, that is automatically prasad. So then Harisori Prabhu said, so then why do we offer to the deities? And so Prabhupada said, because the deities are hungry. So that is the consciousness. We're doing it for Krishna. We're not doing it for ourselves. But so many times when we're doing our service, we're thinking, what will I benefit? I will get purified. I will benefit. I do this jagya, I do this puja. I will get something. And then we bring that mentality into devotional service. And we think, I will get something. But the reason we do devotional service is to please Krishna. It is not for some egocentric motive. But at this point in time, we're very self-consumed in our devotional service. So you see that when Brahma, he offers these prayers to Krishna, how does Krishna react? He's silent. Huh? Prabhupada points out, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, silence is a sign of, how do they say it? Like acceptance. What does that mean?
Silence is
yeah, acceptance is another word as well.
Agreement.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, good. So silence is agreement. Brahma prays to Krishna. Krishna doesn't say anything. Brahma says, I will leave now. And Krishna is just... So silence means agreement. So Krishna is silent. Now, why is it that Krishna does not react? Why doesn't he begin to speak to Brahma? Brahma has just offered some of the most famous prayers in our tradition. Why doesn't Krishna speak back to him? Yeah, he's in the wrong mood. In other words, he's in Vrindavan, but he's not acting like the Brijbasis. There's no one else in Vrindavan who's falling down at Krishna's feet and offering prayers and standing with folded hands. People don't do that in Vrindavan. That is not the mood of the Brijbasis. So Krishna will not break his mood because he is in Vrindavan to enjoy. And Lord Brahma is in a different mood. So he offers prayers, but Krishna just remains silent. He doesn't respond. He just nods in acceptance, in agreement, and then Brahma says, I must go now. Krishna just nods at that, and then Brahma. Now, Prabhupada points out, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also points out, that the reason one reason why Krishna accepted that Brahma can leave Vrindavan is that he had service to do. Now Prabhupada makes that point. Prabhupada also left Vrindavan for one reason, because he had service to do. And Prabhupada actually said when he was in New York, the devotees brought the 13-story skyscraper in Manhattan. ISKCON used to own a skyscraper in Manhattan. And what did Prabhupada say about that skyscraper? 13-story building in Manhattan. Yeah? And on the side of the building it said Hare Krishna. Right? Prabhupada said never sell that building. And what happened when Prabhupada left? They sold it. Right? And our movement, I heard my Guru Maharaj say one time, our movement never recovered. Because we had a 13-story building in the middle of New York. We've never been able to do the same thing. We had so much potency there. So, Prabhupada said at one point, he was preaching in New York, and Srila Prabhupada said, if I die while I'm preaching in New York, you just make a samadhi on the roof of the 13-story building. Just build a samadhi. And Prabhupada said, and you can put me in samadhi there. Prabhupada said, I have no sentiment that I must die in Vrindavan. Of course, when Prabhupada became sick, the first thing he said is, take me immediately to Vrindavan. Because he wanted to actually leave his body in Vrindavan. But he said that he left Vrindavan on the order of the spiritual master. So what is higher, staying in Vrindavan? Or following the instruction of the Guru? Serving the Guru's order. Serving the Guru's order is higher. Prabhupada says, don't try to find Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Prabhupada says, Krishna will be found in the order of the spiritual master. That's where Krishna is. You will realize Krishna, right, in serving your guru's mission. If your guru's order is stay in Vrindavan, then stay in Vrindavan. If your guru's order is stay in Mayapur, then stay in Mayapur. But if your guru's order is go to Italy or Australia or New Zealand, then that's where you go. That's how you will realize Krishna. So Brahma, he was running the universe, and if he stopped running the universe, then there would be problems in the universe. So when he said, I must go, then Krishna agreed. He said, okay, go. Do your service, and at the end, you will come back to Vrindavan. Because Lord Brahma has already prayed, he wants to be a blade of grass. So at least he will get that position. But actually, he can get a higher position than that. So, any points? After granting his son, Brahma, permission to leave, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the calves, who were still where they had been a year earlier, and brought them to the river bank, where he had been taking his meal and where his cowherd boyfriends remained just as before. Yes, Casey?
The words of one, his own son, indicates that Lord Krishna forgave the offense Brahma had committed and treated him with affection as his son. It is stated in his verse that the original cowherd boyfriend, the cows, was situated just as before, near the bank of the Yamuna River, in the forest, respectively. Previously, the cows had disappeared within the forest and Lord Krishna had gone to search for them. Not finding them, the Lord had returned to the river bank to discuss the situation with his cowherd boyfriend. But they had also disappeared. Now, the cows were once again in the forest, the boyfriend was still in the bank of the river, ready to take the lunch. According to Srila's, nothing was coming. Calves and the boys remained in the forest and on the river bank, respectively, for one full year. Lord Brahma did not actually take them away to another place. The Lord's omnipotent initial energy, the gopis, and other residents of Vrindavan, did not notice the calves and boys, but the calves and boys noticed the passing of the year's time, feeling any hunger or the thirst. All this was part of pastime arranged by Lord Krishna potency. Lord Brahma thought, I have put all the boys and calves and kopila into the bed of mystic potencies, and to this very day they have not risen. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for whole 1 year. Yet, they are different from the one division by mind mystic potency. Who are they? Why did they come? Where did they come from? Nothing is invisible to the Supreme Lord. Thus, the Lord Krishna appeared, researching for the calves, and boys only to enact the dramatic pastime of delivering Lord Brahma. After Brahma surrendered and of the prayers, Lord Krishna returned to the original boys and calves, who appeared exactly as before, although the size had somewhat increased to the 1 year's growth. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Since Lord Krishna was playing exactly like an innocent young cover boy in Vrindavan, 400 Brahma, after his prayers, the Lord maintained his role as a young cover boy and thus remained silent before Brahma. Krishna's silence indicates the following clause. Where did this 400 Brahma come from? What is he doing? What are his words he keeps speaking? I'm busy looking for my class. I'm just a cover boy and do not understand all this. Lord Brahma accused Lord Krishna, an ordinary covered boy, and attributed him as such. After accepting Brahma's prayers, Krishna continued to play as a covered boy, and thus did not answer for the Brahma. Rather, Krishna was more interested in rejoining his covered boy to quickly plunge in the bank of the river.
So what are the points there? So, first of all, we're seeing how powerful Krishna is. How powerful is Krishna? Unlimitedly, inconceivable. He can completely regenerate everything. Actually, Sanatana Goswami says, Brahma took the boys. The boys he took were not the original boys. So this is how powerful Krishna is. Brahma has come down, he sees everything, Krishna goes off, he grabs the boys, but the boys he grabs aren't even the real boys, but he thinks he's just grabbed the boys. It's like I grabbed this book, the Bhagavad Gita. So I grab the book, I take it, but the book's still there. And I've taken another book. So this shows how powerful Krishna is. And for 1 year, Sanatana Goswami says the boys were still sitting there the whole time. And they grew for 1 year. But they didn't even know that they were sitting there for 1 year. They thought they were like in suspended animation. They just thought 1 year, when Krishna came back, they thought, oh, 1 moment passed. So they didn't know what was going on. Brahma didn't know what was going on. No one knew what was going on. And Krishna's just walking around the forest like he's a little boy. And at the same time, he's completely bewildered Brahma. So this is how powerful Krishna is. It's unlimited power. Everyone else in comparison is just nothing. Yeah, anything we do is nothing, even though we're so proud. We said, "Oh, I did this, I did that." But we do nothing. And even Brahma, who is actually quite powerful compared to Krishna, it says earlier, it's just like a firefly in front of the sun. Now, the sun is there; the sun is unlimited. And a firefly comes along and he thinks, oh, "I'm powerful," but there's nothing there. So everyone in front of Krishna, there is nothing. Right? So. Even though he committed an offense, but how does Krishna feel towards Brahma? He treats him like a son, it says in this verse. He's like a son. So sometimes the kids do something naughty. So then what do you do? What do you do first?
Chest.
Yeah, you grab the ear. Say, hey, grr, like that. You grab the kids. Hey, like that. Tell the kids, like that. But then afterwards, it's like, it's okay, no problem. I just had to chastise you, to correct you. But there's no, actually, I love you. So the feeling towards Krishna, towards Brahma, it's like that. He had to correct him, but now that he's come, and he has the right mood. That is the most important thing. When you make a mistake, you have to have the right mood. You have to beg forgiveness. And when that is there, then Krishna, he forgives. No problem. Because the mood is, and that's what the guru is looking for. That's what Krishna is looking for. You commit the mistake, that's not a problem. But if you repent the mistake, then immediately you're forgiven. But then Prabhupada would say, don't do it again. You can do the mistake once, that's okay. Second time, Prabhupada would get angry if you did it the same thing again. Third time, he wouldn't even talk to you. So you have to learn to improve and learn by your mistake. Don't keep making the same mistakes again and again. Now, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur points out in his commentary, Krishna is so absorbed in his lila, because Brahma comes and offers the prayers, but Krishna is so absorbed in his lila, he cannot reciprocate with Brahma as Brahma. And Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur said, this is real. Sometimes we say, oh, you know, Krishna is acting like he's God, but he's acting like a cowherd boy. Actually, it's the other way around. He is a cowherd boy, and he just happens to be God. That's who he is. Yeah, if he wants to do something inconceivable, he does it just like that. But actually, he's just a cowherd boy. And when he's absorbed in that role, he's actually feeling like, because he's so absorbed reciprocating the love of his devotees, he's actually thinking, who's the guy? You know, what's with the four heads and the whole, you know? And he's offering prayers, laying on the ground in front of him. There's like a five-year-old kid. You know, imagine if you're like, you know, Yogi's offering obeisances to Brinda. You know, he's on the ground in front of Brinda and he's saying, you know, Brinda, I'm so sorry. You know, please forgive me. You know, Brinda walks in the door and Yogi's on the ground like, you know, please, Brinda, you know, forgive me. Like that. Yeah, Brinda's just, she's like, she's thinking, who's the guy? You know, what's going on with you today? It's like, so Krishna's thinking like that. Brahma's there. Krishna's thinking, so what? Who's the guy? What's going on? He's just eating the yogurt. And he's just thinking like, you know, when's the guy going to finish? Because I've got to find the cows. I've got to, like, you know. And then the guy says like that, and Krishna just nods. He just goes silent. He's like, okay, whatever. And he just walks off. So Krishna cannot break because he actually is a cowherd boy. Right? And Vishnu Chakravarti say, that is real. That is Krishna. God is a cowherd boy. Right? And his part-time job is he's God. It's like, well, I'm God. Yeah, that's who I am. You know, something you need a universe? I go, there's a universe. But actually, he's just a cowherd boy. That's his bar. Right? And the whole thing about being God, that's just, you know, that's just who he happens to be. Any points? Good point. O King, although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their very lives, they had been covered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency and thus considered that year merely half a moment. What indeed is not forgotten by those whose minds are bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency, by that power of Maya, this entire universe remains in perpetual bewilderment, and in this atmosphere of forgetfulness, no one can understand his own identity. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
It is clearly stated here that the entire universe is bewildered. Thus even great demigods like Indra and Brahma are not exempt from the principles of forgetfulness. Since Lord Krishna exercised his internal illusory potency over his covered boyfriends and dogs, it is not at all astonishing that for 1 year they could not remember their position. Indeed, by the Lord's external illusory potency, the conditioned souls for God forget their existence not only for 1 year, but for billions and billions of years as they transmigrate throughout the kingdom of ignorance called the material world.
So, any points there? Wondering. Yeah. So all of us are in Mahamaya. Mahamaya means illusion. Right? Now what is the source of Mahamaya? Right? The source of Mahamaya is Yogamaya. Everything in the material world has its origin in the spiritual world. Now, in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, which is one book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Durga, Mahamaya, she comes to Krishna and she says, to Lord Chaitanya, she says that I am... My service is to keep everyone away from you. And that is very difficult. But sometimes the guru gives you a very difficult service. Right? But the most difficult service is to keep all the devotees away from Krishna. Imagine your service is you have to stand at the front door of the temple and tell everyone not to come in. No, it's very difficult. A devotee, you know, but that is the service. You have to keep the living entities away from Krishna. So then Lord Chaitanya says, do not worry, because in the spiritual world, you are yogamaya, and your service is to bring everyone closer to Krishna. So in the material world, you experience one thing, but in your original form, you have a different situation. So how do we understand? Because the boys are covered by yogamaya. They don't understand what's going on. Even Krishna himself allows himself to be covered by yogamaya. So how do we understand how yogamaya works? It's not so difficult. Just think about how mahamaya works. Because we're in mahamaya all day long. So that's what it's like. Mahamaya makes us forget. So that's what yogamaya is like. It makes us forget. It's the same thing. Not the same thing, but it gives us an idea of what's taking place in the pastimes. Any points?
So the residents of Vrindavan are bewildered, but by yogamaya.
Yogamaya, yeah.
Not the way we're bewildered.
No, it's quite different. Because their forms are spiritual and our forms are material. So in the spiritual world, everyone is also forgetful. They forget that Krishna is God, although they see it every day. You know, Krishna just kills Agasura. Right? And then afterward they say, okay, that was very amazing. And they just keep playing. Then one of the cowboys actually says, you know, next year or the year after, then we'll read where Krishna fights with Kamsa. All right, so Krishna defeats Mushtika Chanura, Krishna and Balaram. Now these are big, you know, wrestlers, big. Krishna and Balaram were like, you know, well built, but these guys were like huge. You know. So then they beat them. They picked them up, they span them around, they threw them on the ground. And then Krishna jumped up, grabbed Kamsa, smashed him, killed him, right? So Krishna just killed Kamsa, killed Chanura, Kuvalaya peed out the front before he came in. He walks in, walks up to Kamsa, doesn't even look at Kamsa, just walks up, gets the tusk of the elephant, which he'd ripped out of the elephant, gets in, just smashes it in the ground and just turns around and walks off. Doesn't even look at him. That's how defiant Krishna is. That's how powerful Krishna is. So then Krishna and Balaram, and then they kill Kamsa. And then after he kills Kamsa, everyone's amazed. It's like a big, like the MCG. It's that kind of stadium. You know, so, you know, like, you know, when someone like, yeah, hits a six in the MCG, everyone's, like that. So he kills Kamsa and everyone's, like that. So the cowherd boys, they see Krishna just kill Kamsa, just kill Chanura and Mushtika, all that. One of the boys just runs over to Krishna and just jumps on him and grabs him and just throws him on the ground. Right, jumps on him and starts pushing him like this. Like Krishna and him start having this, you know. Yeah, the cowherd boys don't even care. Yeah, they just saw him kill this demon, kill that one, kill that, and they say, oh, yeah, I can do that, and they just run over and just grab the guy. And just... So the mood is completely different. So they know he's God, but at the same time, they just completely, it's not that important. Any points?
I'm just wondering if Mahabharata didn't know that she is the expansion of her day. And she said that to Dr.
Ben. I'm not sure. Not sure how to answer.
I thought I did somewhere that even when she chose Lord Chaitanya, this, and then Lord Chaitanya said,
that you will
help me in
this pastime. As yogamaya.
Yeah.
Most of these questions get answered when you go back to the spiritual world. So when you're back there, then send us a text.
Is it good to know now?
Yeah, it's good to know now, but a lot of these things you can't understand now. I can't answer them because I don't know. And Prabhupada actually said, just chant Hare Krishna, and when you become pure, you'll go back to Godhead, and then all the answers will be there. The cowherd boyfriend said to Lord Krishna, "You have returned so quickly. We have not eaten even one morsel in your absence. Please come here and take your meal without distraction." Then... So, this is what love means. What is the spiritual world based upon? It's prema. What is the definition of prema? Are Krishna's senses satisfied? What is the definition of lust or selfishness? Are our senses satisfied? So the boys in the spiritual world, everyone's worried, is Krishna hungry? Does Krishna want something to eat? He comes back. He's been gone for a year, but they think it's one moment. But he comes back. They say, we didn't eat anything. We can't eat. It's like when the guru's there, right? Have you ever had prasadam with your guru at the same time? You ever had it? Right? Same time with your guru? Like that. So sometimes you see devotees and the guru eating at the same time. And all the devotees are just sitting there. You know, because the guru's not eating. They're not going to eat. You're not going to eat before your guru eats. Or when Lord Chaitanya, if you're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya used to serve the devotees prasad with his hands. You know, pick up the prasad and put it on your plate. And then all the devotees would just sit there because Lord Chaitanya was serving. Everyone would just sit there. You know, no one would eat because Lord Chaitanya's serving. Right? And then Swarup Damodara would come and say, my Lord, please sit down, because if you don't eat, no one's going to eat. So Lord Chaitanya would sit, he would eat, and then when he took prasad, everyone would say, Hari, Hari, and then everyone would start to take prasad. But no one eats otherwise. So the same thing. The boys are there, but they can't enjoy. They're eating, but they can't enjoy unless Krishna is satisfied. A lot of the time we're just thinking, you know, we're just sitting there in the Bhagavatam class Saturday morning, we're thinking, oh, you know, what are they making for breakfast? You know, I hope they've got that salad. I hope I get some of the puris, you know, before they take it all from the kitchen, before it goes upstairs. And, you know, we've got like a whole thing going on in our mind. No, but the cowherd boys, they're thinking, what is Krishna? Is he satisfied? If you want to go back to the spiritual world, hands up if you want to go back to the spiritual world. Yeah. So then you have to begin to think, is Krishna satisfied? Don't worry about yourself. In the spiritual world, no one worries about themselves. Everyone worries about Krishna. Is Krishna okay? In the material world, we think about ourselves, and therefore we cannot. That's why we have guru, because guru teaches us this mood. Guru is Ashraya Vigraha. Ashraya Vigraha means he's Krishna's representative. So you learn how to be selfless by serving the spiritual master. Spiritual master is, and you become selfless. Any points?
We talk about going to the spiritual world, and when we see, like Brahma saying, I want to be a blade of grass, Buddha was saying, I want to be a blade of grass, what chance do we have to be to go to the spiritual world? I mean, when we see, we talk about having different rasas, like, I mean, you want to be a Sakha or Dasa or Madhurya Rasa, whichever, which is what we are taught in ISKCON. And that's what we are aiming for. But at the same time, these exalted devotees are talking about being a blade of grass. So what chance do we have? And all the positions are already taken.
What do you want me to say?
just a question that came to my mind.
What chance do we have?
Yeah.
Which answer do you want? You want the lenient answer or the non-lenient answer?
I don't know. I'm just basically thinking.
Srila Prabhupada said, if his followers, which means everyone for the next 10,000 years, Prabhupada said if they chant 16 rounds, and follow the four regular principles, he will take them back to Godhead. So that's the answer. Because how many people in this room are going to realize they're in Sakya Ras, or Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras? Maybe some devotees will. I'm hoping I will. But as you're pointing out, it's not easy. It's the most difficult thing to do, to understand who you are in Krishna's pastimes. When you have Lord Brahma who cannot even enter Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said, if you chant 16 rounds, well, he will take you back to Godhead. So I'm banking quite a lot on.
Thank you.
I don't have a lot of money, but I'm definitely going to put it there. Because if I give it to you, I don't know if I'll get it back. Yeah. So yeah, that's all we can know. Because, yeah. How do we know? It's such a... I mean, half the time we can't even churn our rounds. Devotee's struggling following the four regular principles. And then on top of that, then you have to purify your heart and become an advanced devotee, and so it's not an easy thing to do. So then the natural reaction is you become disheartened. You think, well, I can't do it, so I might as well go off and enjoy the material energy. You know, sit on the beach in Fiji and drink coconut water, you know. But we were doing that 20 years ago and that didn't work either. So it's like, where are we? So sometimes we feel like I'm not in the spiritual world, but I'm not in the material world. So where am I? So that's why Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan nischayat dayat, be enthusiastic, be patient, and be determined. Right? You just do that. Right? And you feel Krishna coming closer, you feel him coming closer. Will we get to the final goal? Maybe, maybe not. But Prabhupada says, if you chant 16 rounds, if all the principles, he will take us back. So I'm banking quite a lot on that. So, yeah. Any other points? Speak loud because they can't hear.
Mahasaya Prabhu had mentioned the same point in one of the retreats at the farm. He was mentioning that once he was gazing at the picture of Lord Krishna, that famous picture of Lord Krishna and Balaram in the front, and then there are so many cows in the background. So he was saying, I was looking at that picture and I was thinking, where will I be in the spiritual world? And he said that I was thinking that all the propositions are already taken. And he said that, and that is why Lord Chaitanya had come to promote
says that if you dive into the ocean of Dasyaras, like that's what you're saying, to serve Lord Chaitanya, you will come up on the bank of Sakya Madhuya Vatsalya, Vrindavan Ras. So, in other words, Lord Chaitanya will take you there, developing the service, and it comes, it just naturally comes. You just serve devotedly Guru Gauranga. And then in due course of time, something stirs in the heart. And then an attraction to Vrindavan, it comes naturally. That's Lord Chaitanya's gift. He sees you're serving him for so many years. He says, here, I'll take you there. So you dive into the ocean of service to him, and then one day he picks you up and he puts you on the bank. You wake up knowing, wow, I'm there. I'm in Vrindavan. So it's possible. Is it possible by our effort? No. Is it possible by their mercy? Yes. Okay, thank you for coming. Hare Krishna.
I'm just thinking, and I want to know if I'm right, that it must be easier to aim for the servant of the servant of the servant position than it would be to aim for the top position, because you'd have to be so qualified. And also you'd have to be... It's hard to be humble when you're in a top.
It's hard to be humble when you're the servant of the servant of the servant. We can't even get that right.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can't even be the humble servant of all the devotees. We can't even be the humble servant of the people in this room. Right? So how are we even going to be, you know, you want to be a gopi. You can't even serve the people here. Yeah. So yeah, what is it? So we can't even get that right. So there's no hope of getting it. So just do your best. That's all. I mean, I've been doing this for a while, you know, and I'm just doing my best. You know, I know every day I wake up in the morning and I think, well, you know, it's not really getting where it's supposed to be getting, is it? I think that's the matter. I can see where I'm supposed to be. I can see it. I understand it. But I'm not there. But I know where it is I'm supposed to be going. So I just keep going. And I don't feel disheartened. I feel there's a great deal of love on the other side. And I have confidence in that. But at the same time, I don't think I'm going to get to where I'm supposed to get to in this lifetime. But then, you know, if someone wants to put their hand down and just say, hey, like that, then I'm kind of relying on that quite a lot. Yeah, and I've got some good friends. I'm trusting that, you know, if they say some prayers for me, then... Yeah, it's like that. I mean, I'm pretty confident in a lot of people in this room that, you know, if they put in a good word for me, which, you know, I believe they will, then I feel quite confident in that too. I think that's enough to get me over the line. And if you look at our movement, there's devotees who are very advanced. Like Atulya and I were talking on the way in the car. Like, so, you know, there's Jnanivas Prabhu. So that's enough for me. I can see it. I can see a pure devotee in front of my eyes. I can see, many times I've seen him, I've sat with him, I've talked to him. I've put my head on his feet. I've taken his remnants, I've washed his plate. I've seen him serve. Like that. So I can see there are pure devotees in this world. So that gives me confidence. Okay, I don't know if I'll become like that in this lifetime, but I can see it's there. And if one of them, you know, turns around and looks at me, then yeah, that's okay. Okay.
Can I just say?
Better be quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to something I've noticed, yep, reading the 10th canto for the first time with you, all of you, I'm noticing that it's one shloka will sort of say kind of impossible, and you'll think, I'm never going to make it. And then the very next one gives you hope. So even the Srimad Bhagavatam is merciful in keeping you hopeful and keeping you engaged somehow.
Yeah, it's important as a devotee. Prabhupada made this point. Prabhupada said, be happy. He says that. There's a letter he writes. Prabhupada says, be happy. So sometimes we get discouraged. Hey, you guys, stop talking. Then sometimes we get discouraged as a devotee. So Prabhupada said, no, don't become discouraged. Don't become disheartened. Don't become unenthused. Right? Just be happy and be enthused as a devotee, and know that you will get there, right? And if you're not getting there, then put more effort into it, right? If you feel like you're not progressing enough, that's your problem. It's not Krishna's problem. It's not your guru's problem. It's your problem. So put more effort in. Simple. And that was Prabhupada's formula. Right? Put more effort in. If you do that, then you'll get to Krishna. It's guaranteed. Okay. Then Lord Hrishikesh, smiling, finished his lunch in the company of his cowherd friends. While they were returning from the forest to their homes in Braj, Lord Krishna showed the cowherd boys the skin of the dead serpent, Agasura. So 1 year has taken place, right? And the snake's sitting out there. You know, down at the farm a few months ago, we had a dead snake. So it decomposes. It smells like anything. I couldn't find out where it was. It smells terrible. You can understand this pastime if you live at the farm. Like, we just had this smell. We couldn't find it. You know, Tori was looking everywhere. I was looking everywhere. And then one day, I walked around the corner. There's a snake there. Whoa, like that, you know. It was dead. You know, it was all smelling, like, decomposing. So Krishna kept this snake there for 1 year. Yogamaya. Did not decompose. So when the boys were walking back, Krishna said, oh, remember we killed that this morning? And they're like, So the pastime, everything is arranged by Yogamaya, so that no one thinks anything has taken place. The boys don't even know all this happened. You know, they don't even read the Bhagavatam. Oh, wow, you know, Krishna made us asleep for 1 year. You know, they don't know what happened. They just keep going in the pastimes. The only one who knows is Balaram. Balaram says, what happened? And Krishna said, oh, I did that. Like that. So he knows, but no one else knows. Lord Krishna's transcendental body was decorated with peacock feathers and flowers and painted with forest minerals. And his bamboo flute loudly and festively resounded. As he called out to his calves by name, his cowherd boyfriends purified the whole world by chanting his glories. Thus Lord Krishna entered the cow pasture of his father, Nanda Maharaj, and the sight of his beauty at once produced a great festival for the eyes of all the cowherd women. So the word is used is Utsava. Utsava means festival. Krishna is a walking festival. Just like, you know, it's like on Janmashtami. You know, we go to Mangalati, we all go to Mangalati on Janmashtami. Right? And there's like a thousand devotees in the temple room. And there's that feeling. So that's what it's like all the time with Krishna. Just walking with him. Just like there's like a festival just going on all the time. So when he gets back at the end of the day, everyone comes out to meet him. The whole village, everyone just stops what they're doing. Everyone just comes. It's like when the guru comes, or when Prabhupada, you see the footage when Prabhupada used to come, everyone's going crazy at the airport. So it's like that. Whenever Krishna comes, everyone just, it's ecstatic. It's just a continuous festival in the spiritual world. As the cowherd boys reached the village of Braj, they sang, "Today Krishna saved us by killing a great serpent." Some of the boys described Krishna as the son of Yashoda, and others as the son of Nanda Maharaj. King Parikshit said, "O Brahmana, how could the cowherd women have developed for Krishna, someone else's son, such unprecedented pure love? Love they never felt even for their own children? Please explain this." So why were they more attracted to Krishna than their own children? Because he's Krishna. Now it's interesting because he is Krishna, right? And who are we? Part of parcel. Where do we come from? From Krishna, right? So Prabhupada explains, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explained, if you have a near-death experience, what do you try to do? Yeah, chant the name. But what do you do when you're like, you try to save your life? That's natural, right? And they explain the reason we do that is because we love ourselves, right? It's natural because we're part of Krishna, so we want to protect ourselves. We don't want to die. We want to be happy. Prabhupada says happiness is the nature of the soul. Right? If you're unhappy, that means you're not on the spiritual platform. Because if you're on the spiritual platform, you'll always be happy. So, why do we love ourselves? And why do we love other souls? It's because they're all part of Krishna. Right? And who do we love the most? Krishna. And everyone in the spiritual world, they're just focused on Krishna. So much so that when he becomes everyone else's children, they're just completely attached. So that is the nature of the soul. The soul cannot live without Krishna. We'll never be happy until we are with Krishna again. Because that is our constitutional position. We're meant to serve Krishna. That's what we're created for. We don't have any other purpose to exist. And like we've told, you know, one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I resign." What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, "How do you resign from being Krishna's servant? How do you resign from that? You can resign from being the temple president, you can resign from being the GBC, you can resign from being the pot washer. But you can't resign from being Krishna's servant because that's who you are. That's your constitutional position." So when we're serving Krishna, we are happy. Hands up if you're happy. Not everyone. Okay. You're only happy if you're serving Krishna. You cannot be happy by serving wife. Only Krishna. Only one person can make you happy. No one else can make you happy, only Krishna.
Why don't we love everybody then?
Why don't we love everybody? Because not everyone in this world is pure. One time, one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone likes you. And Prabhupada said, yes, because I like everyone. So if everyone in the world were pure devotees, we would like everyone. And we don't like everyone because everyone's not a pure devotee. Hands up if you like Donald Trump. Because he's not a devotee. King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, how could they... Did we read that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, for every created being, the dearmost thing is certainly his own self. The dearness of everything else, children, wealth, and so on, is due only to dearness of the self. Mm. So in the material world, how is everyone trying to be happy? Because by pleasing the self. Right? Everyone think, if I have money and I have little children who make a lot of noise, right? And if I have all these things, I'll be happy. And that's why we do everything. Why do you keep having kids? Because you think it'll make you happy. Right? So in the material world, we try to get happiness all based on ourselves. You know, I want kids, I want money, I want house, I want... You know, all these things. And then this will give us happiness. But actually the truth is exactly the opposite. That's why it's called Maya. Maya means that which is not. Right? You think it will make you happy, but actually it gives you misery and suffering. Yeah, today I spent 1 hour on the phone with one of my best friends. He rang me. He said, my marriage is probably finishing. He's got 3 kids. You know, possibly going towards divorce. You know, so many... problems. Now, that's the nature of the material energy. I try to enjoy, but it's the opposite. Right? Because in the material world, we think if I make myself happy, I will be happy. Right? But reality is, if you make Krishna happy, you will be happy. Right? Even when your whole material world is falling apart, you'll still be happy. Right? If you serve Krishna. Right? If you don't serve Krishna, then we wish you luck. For this reason, O best of kings, the embodied soul is self-centered. He is more attached to his own body and self than to his so-called possessions like children, wealth, and home. Indeed, for persons who think the body is the self, O best of kings, those things whose importance lies only in their relationship to the body are never as dear as the body itself. If a person comes to the stage of considering the body mine instead of me, he will certainly not consider the body as dear as his own self. After all, even as the body is growing old and useless, one's desires to continue living remain strong. Right? So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Bhagavad philosophy. Right? Who is being spoken to here? Who is speaking to who in these verses? Sukadeva speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Because what's happening with King Parikshit? He's about to die. How long has he been speaking, Sukadeva Goswami? Canto 10. So it must be, how many days did he have to live? 7. So it must be the 4th day. Must be around about that. 4th, maybe going towards the 5th day. So 4 days he's been speaking to him. He's about to die. So he's saying, don't worry about yourself. Worry about Krishna. And then you will transcend, right? Just absorb yourself in Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas. Don't worry about yourself. If you worry about yourself, it never works out. If you worry about Guru and Krishna, everything's perfect. Right? You'd be totally satisfied. Which verse? 4? Which one? 4. Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving living entities exist. So why is this material world here? Because we want it to be here. Right? You want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So Krishna says, no problem. Have a universe. Right? Go into the universe and enjoy yourself. You guys have to stop talking. Oh, I can't do it. If you keep making noise, otherwise I have to separate you like kids. Right? It's like I have to tell, you know, and Brinda's better behave than you guys. You're talking the whole time. It's ridiculous. Otherwise, go and sit over there, you sit there. You should know better than this, SKC. It's not good.
Oh, it's just tweeting.
Yeah, we're just always talking. It's not good. Just listen. So the whole purpose of the material world is one thing. Because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So Krishna gives you facility. You want to enjoy? Here. This is your facility. Go and enjoy. So it is unlimited. Krishna is so generous, he gives you an entire universe. To go and try to enjoy separate. That is our purpose for coming here. Right? And the way to go back is you have to reverse the consciousness. Right? Who is that? Says that? Bahimuk? Who wrote Prema Vivata? Jagannanda Pandit. So Jagannanda Pandit, he's a great follower of Lord Chaitanya. He says the living entity is Bahimuk. Bahimuk means your face is turned away from Krishna. So we're standing right next to Krishna, but we're looking away, ignoring. And it's simple. Becoming Krishna conscious means you just turn around and you look at Krishna again. That's it. And you go back to Krishna. So if you want to stay away from Krishna, you just keep ignoring him. And you can stay in the material world forever. But if you want to come back to Krishna, you just turn around, you look at him, and you serve him nicely, and he'll take you back to the spiritual world. You should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency. So Vishnuchakravarti Thakur explains, when Krishna comes into this material world, the conditioned souls can see him. You read in the Mahabharata, for example, Duryodhana, who was not liberated, he could see Krishna directly. So how is that possible? By Krishna's mercy. Krishna allowed himself to be seen by conditioned souls. But Vishnuchakravarti Thakur explains, even though they could see him, but they could not perceive his sweetness. So they were not attracted to him. They were seeing God himself, but they could not understand. This is Krishna. He was hiding it all. So there was no reciprocation. So therefore, they did not become attracted to him. And they had to stay in this material world. So if you reciprocate with Krishna, then he attracts you. Because that's the name Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. He forcibly, as we've explained, the word Krishna comes from Karshna. Karshna means like to forcibly grab or to take. So Krishna will take you if you want. He will just grab you and just forcibly bring you to him. So Prabhupada says, or actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you take one step to Krishna, Krishna takes 10 to you. Krishna is very dominant. Those in this world who understand Lord Krishna as he is see all things, whether stationary or moving, as manifest forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such enlightened persons recognize no reality apart from the Supreme Lord Krishna. So this is an interesting Vishnuchakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. He says, why is it we are attracted to anything in this world? Are you attracted to anything in this world? What are some examples of things you're attracted to? That's great. Yeah, but I mean, like, more specific examples.
Nature.
What is it?
Nature.
What is it?
Nature.
Nature, yeah, very good. Nature. Yeah, we're attracted to nature. You're attracted to nature. Yeah, beautiful scenery. Sometimes you go places just breathtaking. So beautiful. So Krishna Chakravarti Thakura says, why is it beautiful? Because it comes from Krishna. And Krishna is beautiful. He is attractive. Shama Sundara. So it has his potency in it. That's why everything in this world, because it has Krishna's potency, we're attracted to it. So it's very difficult to get out of this world. Because we become bewildered. So then Prabhupada explains, what is the thing that we're most attracted to in this world? The opposite sex. So hands up if that is true for you. The thing you're most attracted to in this world is the opposite sex. No? It is for me. I say I'm most attracted to the opposite sex. Although you must be liberated. Me and SKC, but the rest I don't know. I don't even know who we're sitting with anymore. So. What are you guys attracted to? Children?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
More than the opposite sex? Yeah, I mean, maybe internally. Internally, it would be like that. But so the basic principle, like, just to keep it simple, I'll speak to you because they're... So the main thing we're attracted to the material is the opposite sex. So then Prabhupada says how to get over that attraction. Does anyone want to know? You want to know because then Prabhupada said you have to see, right, the opposite sex as Krishna's gopis. Right? He said for the man, when you see the woman, you think that is Krishna's gopi. And that gopi is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So it's a change of consciousness. Right? So that's how we overcome the material energy, because the material energy is very powerful, very attractive. Right? For those of us who are attracted to the material energy. Right? So it's very attractive. So how do you overcome it? You see that this is Krishna's energy. It's for him. It's not for us. Yeah. At the moment, we're bogies. Bogies means we're trying to enjoy the boga, which is meant to be offered to Krishna. But we're not meant to enjoy boga, we're meant to enjoy prasad. Right? When Krishna enjoys it, then okay, we'll take the remnants. So that's the mentality we have to develop. Otherwise, you stay in the material world. You guys are all liberated anyway, so. I don't even know why I give this class. I was kind of happy to see you, SKC. And half the time you're not here anyway, so. I'll just keep reading because I've got to finish. So. The original unmanifested form of material nature is the source of all material things. And the source of even that subtle material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. What then could one ascertain to be separate from him? For those... Okay, this verse here, this is a very famous verse. Very famous verse. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. Their goal is Param Padam, Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura points out in the commentary, the only place that you are safe is at Krishna's lotus feet. When your consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, his lotus feet, there is no misery. Vipadam. Vipadam means dangerous. This world is dangerous. I know many of you, I look around the room, I know your lives, I know your near-death experiences. Seriously, I know, because we're all close. So, you know, many things have happened to all of us. Right? It's dangerous here. Right? But when you are securely fastened or your consciousness is fixed on Krishna's lotus feet, there is no danger. Because you're with Krishna. Radhana Swami said one time, I was at Radhana Swami's birthday, they had a birthday for him. Not Vyasa Puja, but the actual day, his calendar day he was born. So I was there in Mumbai. So Maharaj spoke, it was his birthday, and he said, all of us are born to die. And he said, for a devotee, death is all attractive. For a non-devotee, it is unattractive. But for a devotee, it's all attractive, because it's Krishna. Death just means you're going to be with Krishna, so there is no anxiety. So if you're attached to Krishna's lotus feet, there is none. That's a very famous verse. Prabhupada quotes. Since you inquired from me, I have fully described to you those activities of Lord Hari that were performed in his fifth year, but not celebrated until his sixth. Any person who hears or chants these pastimes, Lord Murari performed with his cowherd friends, the killing of Agasura, the taking of lunch on the forest grass, the Lord's manifestation of transcendental forms, and the wonderful prayers offered by Lord Brahma, is sure to achieve all his spiritual desires. So if you just heard this whole chapter, all of your spiritual desires will be fulfilled. That's how powerful this is. In this way, the boys spent their childhood in the land of Vrindavan, playing hide-and-go-seek, building play bridges, jumping about like monkeys, like Brinda, and engaging in many other such games. So this describes what it's like in the spiritual world. Hands up if you want to go back to the spiritual world. Right? But if you want to go back to the spiritual world, you can only go back when you are pure. Prabhupada, it's said in the purport. As long as you're contaminated, you don't go back. So you have to purify your consciousness. Then you'll go back to the spiritual world. Live with Krishna eternally. Okay, so I can't take any more questions because we've run out of time. If you have questions, you can come after. So that is the end of Krishna's Kaumara Lila. Now Krishna is six, so he goes into the next phase, Pogandu Lila, and Kaishora Lila begins to manifest. So you see, from this point in time, now the gopis begin to come into the pastimes. Up until now, there's no mention of Krishna's Madhurya Ras. But for now on, these things. Now we're going into the very deep part of the Bhagavatam. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.